it's still a dream come true coming here, because there's a lot of, the best thing about Australia is there's a lot of opportunities. Like back home, we lost a lot of education. So coming to Australia, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities here. You can literally become whatever you want to be.
What do you get from a milk bar? Cheezels, ice cream, the newspaper, dishwashing liquid, emergency Tim Tams. But what about jollof rice, fried plantain, and fufu? Well, that's what you get at La Goutte Afrique, a classic Aussie corner store that's also a very surprising West African restaurant. We are speaking to one of the owners today on Dirty Linen. Welcome to the show, Yvette Koibia.
Hello.
So great to have you on the show, Yvette. I love what you're doing at La Goutte Afrique in Reservoir in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. Tell us a bit about the milk bar and restaurant that you have.
Thank you. Well, it's like you said, a milk bar with a twist, with African authentic cuisines.
And what inspired you to open it and to open it there?
Oh, there's a lot of things. First was, it's my first business. So I was like, oh, I'm not sure how this is going to go. So let me try with a milk bar, because milk bar has a house at the top. And it's the only place that you're allowed to have like a takeaway food. So it's the only business that can permit you to also have food and convenience store, like a small shopping center. So, yeah. And I'm also a single mom, so I have my son. And cooking is really, really hard work, and it requires a lot of attention, waking up early and all that. Yeah, so because of my son, I thought it would be easier to have a milk bar where we can live at the top. Then I can also spend a lot of time with him while he's here, and then I can also run the business. And I thought it was the first step to introducing African food to Aussies.
Love that. So great. So tell us about which part of Africa you're from, because I think a lot of people in Melbourne or Australia might be a little bit familiar with East African food, but I think we haven't seen as much West African food here. So yeah, tell us about your part of the world where your family is from and the kind of food that you've grown up eating.
Okay, so I'm Liberian. But I was born in Ivory Coast, so, and I've also been to Ghana. So I have three West African food experience. So the first one would be Liberia. Liberia has a lot of stews, lots of soup, and we also have fufu. We can literally make stew out of anything. Yes. And Ivory Coast has also, they also have fufu, lots of soups, and something called acheke, which is cassava. It looks like couscous. That's very popular, and roasted fish. So West African has a lot of fufu and rice dishes.
So Yvette, I reckon you better explain what fufu is, because a lot of people will not be familiar with it.
I had someone come in and said, it looks like mashed potato dumpling. So fufu, the authentic African fufu, is either made out of cassava or yam. So yam is it's mostly like taro family. So you can boil it, like back home, what we do, we boil it and then we palm it. And then it becomes a dough that looks like mashed potato, but then it's more thicker. Then you can eat that with any soup of your choice. But most of the time, people have it with okra, any drawing soup, or like soup that has a lot of sauce in them.
Yeah, so it's this really sort of soft, starchy ball. So it's made with the cassava is like the dry powdered form, right? And then you mix it with water and stir it, and you have to use a lot of muscles to cook yes, it, don't you?
Yes, you do. Like, I'm growing a lot of muscles at the moment, so I'm worried about that. Yeah, so here in Australia, we only have access to the powder, So we do use the powder here, which is imported from overseas. And then you put a pot on the fire, put a bit of water in there. And then once the water boils, then you put your powder in and then you have to stir it for like about 10 minutes. And then, yeah, it's ready to serve.
Ah, okay. So traditionally it's actually made with the fresh root vegetable, and you just, so it's like, is it sort of like making, as though you're making mashed potatoes, but just by stirring till it gets really smooth?
With fufu, you have to palm it pretty hard. It's still hard work because mashed potato is very easy, but you need to palm it so it becomes more starchy.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And so what I love about it is like you tear bits off and then you can dip it into the okra or the stew. Am I doing the right thing by doing that when I eat it?
Correct, you are. But you actually use, like, some people use two hands, but most of it's meant to just one hand.
Okay.
You can use your thumb. Yes. You can use your thumb to pull a little hole, you know, make it a little bit flat if you want to, so you can be able to, when you dip it in the soup, you can have some soup like stuck in it.
Got it. And tell me about the stews. Like, what is in some of those? Like, what are some of the famous dishes?
So okra is very popular now. I'm not sure if it's because you made an article about it, but it's very popular now. Egusi used to move a lot. But now we're also getting like the tomato chicken stew or the beef stew. A lot of people are having that with fufu. So what we do is we put spinach in there so you can have a bit of veggie in there, because the okra and the egusi, they come with spinach in them. So we also add that to the stews, which people are now having with fufu, and they seem to really like it. If you're not looking for something too traditional, the stew is also another option.
Ah, that's so interesting. And tell me about egusi. Explain that to people.
So egusi is from Nigeria, mostly the Igbos. They have the egusi. So egusi is cooked. It's mellow seed. It's like the bitter mellow. They get the seed and they dry it up and then peel the inside. It's like, I'll give you an example, maybe almond. So it's like blended. And then you have your beef, you season it to your taste, then you cook it until it's soft, then you fry your egusi in red oil, and then add it to the meat, and then once it's cooked to your taste, you add your vegetables.
Oh, my God, I haven't had that one, and it sounds so delicious. My mouth is watering. I have to have that next time.
Yes, you should.
So, Yvette, tell me about, you know, I know that you worked cooking, or you were enjoyed cooking when you were in Africa still. Like, tell me about, you know, what life was like there and what was available to you in terms of food and cooking.
I was born during the war in Liberia. So my parents then moved to Ivory Coast. So I've had different experience of cooking. We also were in Ghana. So I got all those experience. But back home in Ivory Coast, we still had Liberian food because we're originally Liberians. So we had access to charcoal, wooden, like the wood fire. Yeah, so we'll put the woods together on the between bricks and then light it up, like when you're doing like a bonfire. So that's how we used to cook back home. Then you cook on top of that. So we had access to vegetables, we had access to tomatoes, we had access to cassava, but most of the ingredients we had access to were all fresh ingredients.
Yeah, amazing. And did your family had a food stall there?
No, but we used to sell at the market. Back home, we eat snails. So me and my siblings used to go to the bush. We'll go hunting for some snails and stuff. And my brother used to go hunting for, like, it's called bush meat. And then we will go and sell that to make some money so our family can feed and stuff.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. What sort of bush meat is it?
Sometimes it was like deer, Like bush deer, yes.
Oh, that's so interesting. And how would the snails be eaten?
Oh, so you can cook the snail in, you can add that to okra, to your okra soup. You can add it to palm soup. And there are some people use like fresh pepper and onions and everything, and they cook the snail, and then they'll stir that in the snail, and then you serve that with maybe yam or any other meal that you would like to eat it with.
Yeah, interesting. Do you reckon you'd ever do snails in reservoir?
Oh, if we have easy access, it's pretty hard to import it to Australia. That's the problem.
Yeah. You don't reckon our snails would do the job?
Oh, no. There's a particular snail that you eat. The ones in okay. Australia, you can't eat it.
So, Yvette, tell me about coming to Australia. How old were you and what was it like when you got here?
Ooh, coming to Australia. First, we had a really tough life back home due to being in the refugee camp in Ghana and stuff. So while we were in the refugee camp, we were waiting for the opportunity to come to Australia. And when we got the opportunity, it was a dream come true. I actually thought Australia was heaven. I thought there was no sand. You would be walking. Like, I don't know. I just had this imagination that, you know, Australia was just, it wasn't in this world. So, because I had no knowledge of Australia then. But it was a dream come true. It was the most exciting thing. When we were coming here, because we knew that things would be different, our life were going to be better. So, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. So when you say walking in sand, were you walking in sand a lot in the refugee camp and you were looking forward to different environment?
Yes, we walked a lot because we didn't have a car. So sometimes we walk like 1-2 days just to fetch water to drink.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. I mean, a lot of people had. There are people that have good life in Africa, but just because we came from a war situation, so we were struggling a lot. So yeah, I was 15 when we came here, and I just had, you know, I've never heard of Australia. I didn't know much about Australia, so I just imagined the best things, and it is a good country.
Oh, I don't want to ask, like, was it this paradise, or were there hard things along the way when you got here?
I thought when I come to Australia, I mean, all the problems will automatically be finished. Life would just be automatically good. But no, it wasn't like that. It's still a dream come true coming here, because there's a lot of, the best thing about Australia is there's a lot of opportunities. Like back home, we lost a lot of education due to not being able, you know, our parents not being able to, you know, help us with education, and we did not have a stable life. So due to that, you know, our education was not balanced. So coming to Australia, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities here. You can literally become whatever you want to be. There is no obstacles. That's what I feel. Like, for example, now my dream has come true by opening this milk bar and, you know, one of my dreams, milk bar and African cuisine. So I feel like if I was still back home with the situation that we were in, if we did not have the opportunity to come here, maybe I wouldn't be speaking to you now. You would have never known about me. Yes.
Yeah, I would not have been able to learn from you and eat your beautiful food. So, yeah, I'm super grateful that we've got this opportunity. So, Yvette, which languages did you speak when you arrived here? And, was it hard to school up with the Aussie English?
Oh, we spoke Liberian Pidgin English, and we also spoke French. So we mostly, because I was born and grew up in Ivory Coast, so I spoke French the whole time. So, and we also started schooling in French before we went to Ghana. So when we were in Ghana, then we were in schooling anymore, but we were still speaking French and learning English. So when I came here, it was really tough with the schooling system, because learning in French and just learning how to, you know, read and write and other stuff in French and then switch that to, you know, and not going to school for a while and then coming here and then starting school at the age of 15. That was quite tough because in Australia, they put you in your grade according to your age, not according to where you're at. So that was pretty difficult and depressing.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds so hard. Did you manage to catch up and, learn enough English to get through schooling?
Actually, no, because I was falling behind a lot. I started in year 9 and then I just couldn't understand anything. So I repeated, I think. And then I got to year 10, not because I passed, because you can get to year 10 if you want to. So I was going to repeat again, and then I'm like, this is not working for me. So I did English. They had English classes at TAFE. And, that's what helped me get to where I am and to be able to work. I just learned the basic thing that can help me in the working environment.
Yeah, awesome. And Yvette, you know, you've started La Goutte Afrique with somebody else. Do you want to talk about your business partnership and how you work together?
Yes. So Esther Moses is my business partner. We worked together at a previous African restaurant in Sunshine West. So that's how we met. And we separated for a while and then we reconnected on Facebook. And then started our friendship back at our local church. So when I bought the milk bar, Esther Moses came to visit to support me. And I told her about the vision of the business. And I needed some money to get to the next stage of the business. And she supported with that. And from there, we became partners.
Wow, so great. I mean, do you think there's something about women working together in small business, you know, that is quite special?
Yes, I think when women work together, it's powerful, it's great, and it's a good example for young women.
Yeah, amazing. What lessons have you learned from your business that you reckon could help other young women who might be thinking about making that leap?
Oh, I've learned a lot. I've learned that you can't do anything by yourself in this world. We need people. We need to work together. No matter how complicated people are, no matter how hard people are, when you find someone good, like I found Esther Moses, who has helped a lot, brought the vision of the business to life, because without her, I don't think the business will be where it is today. So no matter the vision, no matter the, you know, whatever you want to achieve in life, I think as women or anyone should understand that you need people. We need to learn how to work together in order to achieve great things and greater things. But one person cannot do it. You need someone to take it to this stage. You can do, there are other things that you can do, but then there are other things that you're not strong in and you can't do, and you need other people to support you in that. So a team makes the dream work.
Totally. And I think mindset is so important in business, you know, especially when you're starting out and, you know, perhaps things are quite difficult at the beginning. I mean, what sort of, you know, what do you say to yourself, or what do you and Esther say to each other if you're having like difficult days, if things aren't going very easily?
Well, we think about the vision. We think about where we're going, what we want to achieve. And we imagine ourselves where we'll be 5 years from now. And once the business actually started and the feedback and the reaction we were getting from people, that also motivates us. And those, especially the people that love the food and they want us to stay, they're also our motivators. Like, they motivate us to keep pushing and to keep trying.
Love it. And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, where do we see ourselves in 5 years? Well, we see we got a very big vision. One of our visions, which I'm hoping can be achieved in 5 years, is to see African cuisines in shopping centers in Australia. Because I'm not sure if there's one, but I haven't seen any since I've come to this country. I've not seen an African food store or food court in shopping centers in Australia. So that's one of our visions. And our other vision would be to take part in every festivals in Melbourne and all over Australia too.
I reckon that's achievable. That is so true. Like, there should be African food in, yeah, food courts, and it just would fit really nicely in amongst all the other, cultural cuisines. It would be, yeah, so good. I can really see you there, Yvette. Like, I think you've got me in your vision. I'm swept up in it. It's really great.
Thank you.
Yvette, I really reckon you've got an exciting few years ahead of you, but in the shorter term, next time I come to La Goutte Afrique, what will you feed me? What do you think I need to try?
Oh, I will feed you, or we will feed you, the achiké and fried fish with salad. I think that's something you should try.
What's the achiké?
Achiké is the, it looks like couscous, so it's cassava.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yes, I think you should try that. And what haven't you tried? You should try our pepper soup.
Ooh, yes.
I think that's something you will like. But it's quite spicy, if you can handle the spice.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yes.
Definitely.
And you should try our flat bread and red beans.
Okay, it's going to be a feast. All right. Well, I can't wait. And I'm really, I'm really in awe of what you've achieved and, you know, just can't wait to watch your continued success, Yvette. Thank you so much for chatting with us today. Really fantastic to have you on the show. And, yeah, I look forward to seeing you back at La Goutte Afrique.
That's all right. Thanks, Denny.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.